And first up, why wouldn't you have one of Tasmania's greatest footballers, the man that came from the Derwen Valley, Peter Hudson? G'day, Pete. How are you?
Richard, I'm very good, thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours too. Now, you've had a big week. You've had your birthday, and then on Monday, they're unveiling a statue of you in New Norfolk. Is it that beautiful kick that we see on the Scanlon's bubblegum cards, is it?
Yeah, it was a few years ago, those bubblegum cards too, Richard. But no, look, I'm looking forward to Monday. Yeah, I was contacted by Nick Cracknell, the ex-mayor of New Norfolk, to ask me if I'd be okay with it. I said I certainly would, because I consider it to be a fantastic honour and really looking forward to it.
Well, it is your hometown. That's where you started your football, and then you kicked on, to use the expression, from there. Can I just talk about when Hawthorn used to fly you in the helicopter to Waverley?
Yeah, I did. I flew into Waverley. I played one game. This was 1973, Richard, and they got me back for one game towards the end of the season. Because of the fact that we had a very big time at the Granada Tavern, a big weekend coming up with Norman Gunston as our guest artist, I couldn't go until the Saturday morning to Melbourne to play in this particular game. So they said, to be sure of getting me to Waverley, out to Waverley, on time, they'd fly me out in a helicopter, which they duly did.
What a big arrival. The only other person I've seen fly in a helicopter to Waverley was Rod Stewart in a concert in 1979. So you're a good company, mate. Rockstar.
Yeah. When they played the last game at Waverley, Richard, they, once again, to reenact a lot of things, they reenacted me in the helicopter, and my wife and I, Steph and myself, went to lunch at the game, and they took me out of the lunch into the car park, popped me into the helicopter, and popped me up over the top. So I actually had a couple of trips to Waverley in a helicopter.
What's your take on the modern game of football, Pete?
Well, I love it. You know, I'd watch it 8 nights a week if it was on. It's a different game, Richard, very fast. But I still marvel at the skills of the players these days and their fitness and how quick they are. But mind you, if you look at the comparison with the old days, well, we had a job 40 hours a week and trained Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. Now they're full-time footballers and yeah, their skills should be better, but I'm in awe of a lot of the stuff that they do.
There's no real positional players as we used to know them. Like, you were a full forward, you might move up, you know, a couple of yards up the ground, but you didn't really move out. And the same with the backs too.
That's right. Well, they're so fit that they can be a back man 1 minute, and then they can be up in the forward line the next. I think that the thing of having a certain number of players in each part of the ground has probably helped that. And it's a moving target, Richard. It's punch and counterpunch. Like, one coach will come up with an idea and the next coach will counter it. So that's the nature of the game, I think.
Can you remember your very first goal you kicked in senior football?
No.
Well, it was so many, I suppose. What about your last goal?
Well, I know my first goal would have been at New Norfolk, and I can't remember, but I can remember, yeah, when I did my knee, which was in 1972 in the first half of the first game, and I can remember that vividly.
When you used to play at Boyer, especially the North Hobart ladies, when they'd come up, did they used to give you a bit of stick?
Well, I don't think it's fair to just mention the North Hobart ladies, because I think there was a certain amount of stick from every opposition club, and then when I went to Melbourne, Richard, it didn't improve there. So the only thing I used to say was, if they got stuck into you, you must have been going okay. You know, you're probably having a good day. And there were some of the Melbourne clubs here that shall remain nameless, by crikey, you know, and particularly if you were recognisable. I mean, I suppose I was in a situation, you know, kicking a few goals and they'd recognise him. Oh, gee, you copped your fair share, I can tell you. But it's all part of the game, isn't it?
It is. But the reason I mentioned the North Hobart ladies, because they used to dominate the Ride Street stand, and if you were a Glenorchy supporter, you wouldn't go anywhere near them.
Yeah, if you were smart.
There's one thing that I always remember about you, and it had to do with the church in Hawthorn. Outside the church, there on the little board they had, what would you do if Jesus came to Hawthorn? And they'd say, I'd move Peter Hudson to centre half forward.
Yeah, that actually happened, Richard. And I'll tell you quickly, I was doing a bit of a talk one night at Kooyong, the tennis club for a friend of mine, and about 150 people in the audience, and I told the story, as you can imagine. I did it regularly, and what would you do if Jesus Christ came to Hawthorne? On the notice board outside a church in Hawthorne. Anyway, I'm telling the story, and this guy in the audience puts his hand up, and he says, Peter, he said, I know you won't believe this, but he said, it is true. He said, my father was the minister at the church when that happened. He's the one that put the sign out, what would you do if Jesus Christ came to Hawthorne? I said, you're kidding. He said, no. I said, well, will you do me a favour? Will you tell him that I've wined and dined on that story for about 35 or 40 years? He said, and so has he.
We know who put it out there, but we don't know who changed the lettering, though, do we?
No, that's right. That's right. It's become, to me, two of the things in my lifetime that if nobody remembers me for anything else, I think it'll always be the church and the helicopter.